Joining us on the line from Israel, Rolene Marks. Rolene, it must be so strange. COVID just doesn't exist in Israel. You know, you're listening to this and listening to the exhaustion, the panic, the desperation, and you look around and you're not even required to wear masks indoors anymore.
Well, you know what? I can hear the frustration in Dr. Marburg's speech, and I've been watching you guys since the start of your podcast. And it's the same message every single week. You know, just listen to what the experts tell you. And I know there might be many of you thinking, you know, you've got no right telling us what to do. You're in Israel, but look at us as an example. It was very uncomfortable to be locked down in our homes, to have to obey draconian rules, to have big fines imposed on us if we broke it. But look at where we are now. We've broken through that barrier that many of us around the world have thought, well, we'll never see the end of this thing. And now look at us in Israel. We've thrown away the masks. We have virtually no numbers. We're starting to open up slowly but surely to vaccinated tourists. And life is going on as it was before the pandemic. And you guys can do it too. It's really, it's like 14 days, as you just said, is not a lot. And time flies when you're at home working and Netflixing.
Absolutely. You can't even finish Netflix in 14 days. You can't. Not unless you really, really try and watch things at double speed. Right, let's talk about what's going on in Israel. Oh, gosh. The Gaza, is it over? Is the peace, the ceasefire all but done?
Well, I wouldn't say the ceasefire is all but done, but we've certainly broken it. And that might sound like a contradiction. In preparation for the flag march that took place earlier this week, Hamas sent over 20 incendiary balloons into Israel. Now, when you think of incendiary balloons, it doesn't sound, you know, that much of a threat, but these are massive threats. Not only are these balloons and condoms, as well, attached with IEDs, which are improvised explosive devices, but also Molotov cocktails. And when they land, they set fires, huge fires, to massive amounts of Israeli agricultural land. That's our food sources, as well as our nature reserves. And, you know, we say so often on social media, those who love the land don't burn the land. But not only that, there's the very, very real psychological threat that for our children living in the south, because to most children, a balloon is a symbol of a party, it's a symbol of a fun time, and we have to try and educate our kids that when they see them, not to rush to them and try and play with them, because they could get killed. So this is the situation that we've been dealing with for 3 days in a row in Israel, and in response, Israel has struck targets within the Gaza Strip. These are the balloon launching cells. In fact, they have units in the military wing of Hamas and Islamic Jihad specifically for balloon and incendiary device launching. So we've been striking those targets, and Israel has warned that if this doesn't stop, you will have Guardians of the Wall Part 2, and that we will treat every balloon sent over into our sovereign territory as a rocket. So it's been right. A very, very difficult situation.
Indeed. Let's just talk about democracy in Israel over the last week, because, gosh, what a ride it has been. Take us through the week. Give us the best and give us the worst.
Well, I tell you, never have I needed a Shabbos whiskey so much than after this week, Howard.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only nearly 9 o'clock here, but you know, it's 5 o'clock in Australia.
Exactly, and you love Australia, so it's fine.
Exactly, but we have seen the best and the worst of democracy this week. You know, we were really sitting on the edge of our seats on Sunday as that vote went to the Knesset, and the unity government was voted in by 60 votes, and we had this very, very historical swapping over of governments, the stepping down of Bibi Netanyahu somewhat reluctantly, I think that's the best euphemism I can choose to describe his behavior over the week, and Naftali Bennett coming in, giving what I think was a very, very conciliatory, very balanced, very inclusive speech to the nation. And he was absolutely heckled and abused throughout the speech, followed by Lapid saying he's throwing away his speech and absolutely excoriated Netanyahu and his supporters. Then Netanyahu came up to speak, and this should have been a moment where he could have stepped aside graciously and with dignity. And as you and I have discussed so often, he does have quite a varied legacy. You know, he's accomplished tremendous things, but he's also a very, very controversial and divisive figure internally in Israel. And this speech absolutely lambasted the new government. He said he'll do everything in his power to bring down this government based on lies. And he did something very, very irresponsible, which is he took a pot shot at the Biden administration. Now, this is Israel's closest ally. In fact, in the last couple of days, not only has Biden sent congratulatory messages to Prime Minister Bennett, he's also phoned him. And Blinken, the Secretary of State, has spoken to our new Foreign Minister and alternate Prime Minister, Yair Lapid, at least four times. This is in less than a week. So really, you know, going all out to cement these relationships. And also we have our IDF chief of staff off to the States within the week. But we have seen the worst of democracy. We've seen a former prime minister and his supporters working as much as possible to try and disrupt the new government, and massive criticism towards Netanyahu for not vacating the Balfour residence in Jerusalem. This is the official residence of the prime minister. Also rumors that he had very important paperwork shredded before Naftali Bennett came into the office. He's denied it, but these reports have got out. And a group going as far as to say, you better vacate Balfour by the 27th of June, or we're going to the Supreme Court to have you removed.
And it's just unbelievable. Really, really, really incredible. Have we seen Sarah?
We haven't seen Sarah Netanyahu. She popped up with Bibi the other day. They went to the grave of Yoni Netanyahu to pay tribute, and you know, many cynics within the Israeli press say, you know, there's two kind of crutches that Netanyahu seems to lean on when he feels his popularity is waning. One is the reputation of his late brother, the extraordinary Yoni Netanyahu, and the other is invoking the Shoah, the Holocaust. So we haven't heard or seen Sarah except for this very, very brief moment. We also haven't heard from Yair Netanyahu very much this week. I think he's probably either been banned or
sulking somewhere.
Or sulking somewhere. But for somebody who has enjoyed the stature of Benjamin Netanyahu, the way that he has handled himself this week has really disgusted Israelis. I know many of our listeners are not going to want to hear that. A lot of criticism for him hosting the former U.S. ambassador to the U.N., Nikki Haley, and Pastor John Hagee from Kufi at the Balfour residence. There's nothing wrong with hosting them. He's within his rights to host them, and we're appreciative of their solidarity trip, but he's not the prime minister anymore. And to do that so blatantly is really extremely disrespectful for the new prime minister, Naftali Bennett, and his government.
And it must have put them in a very awkward position.
It does put them in an awkward position because, you know, now what do you do? We have heard from evangelical Christians that they, their support is support of Israel, regardless of who the premier is. And we have to remember that Israel is not the sum of one man or one woman or one sector of society. You know, Israel belongs to all of us. And a successful Israeli government is a success for all of us.
Absolutely. And there was also this amazing moment when the, I think it's the first minister who's ever been sworn in with sign language was sworn in this week.
An absolutely extraordinary moment. I mean, I had such a lump in my throat as Shirley Pinto was sworn in as a Chavira Knesset using sign language. And we really have this 36th Knesset is probably the most diverse and inclusive. We have a prime minister who's religious, wears a kippah. We have Arab ministers. We have Druze ministers. We have gay ministers. We have ministers, one that is in a wheelchair. We have a deaf minister. We have 9 ministers out of 27 who are women, which is really, really extraordinary. We have ministers from the Ethiopian community. So we really have this incredibly diverse and really representative of the people of Israel in our Knesset. And really, if we want a strong and a stable Israel, we will support the success of the elected office bearers.
Absolutely, absolutely right. Let's just talk about the vaccines. With this announcement that Israel is sending, 500,000? I'm not sure what the actual number is of vaccines to the Palestinian Authority.
Yes, you know, there's been a lot of criticism against Israel for not helping the Palestinians, and we know the various arguments. They didn't want our help, etc. But now Israel is going to give the Palestinian Authority 500,000 Pfizer vaccines, so that as many as possible can be vaccinated against COVID-19. And this comes at a time when we are vaccinating children from the age of 12 to 16.
Absolutely, absolutely incredible. Let's, we've got about 5 minutes left. I started a conversation yesterday. Anthony Reich mentioned it because he's an ice cream lover and he's very, very concerned about the story that Ben and Jerry seems to have disappeared off social media. Now we know that they have been very, very active. They very much part of Israeli culture as well. I remember that we've even discussed around Pesach time, the Pesach time we would get this, what is it, charoset flavor?
Charoset.
There's all sorts of stuff, but they're part of Israeli culture, and they've now disappeared off social media. What is going on there?
Well, first of all, I have to say that out of all the ice creams, I do love my Ben and Jerry's cinnamon buns, followed very closely by fish food. Just putting it out
there. All right, fine. I've made a note.
But do we want a side of political virtue signaling with our ice cream, Howard? I think, you know, this is the question we have to ask ourselves. And Ben and Jerry's seem to have taken the strategy to move off social media and actually stay out of this current very, very heated exchange of accusations between pro-Palestinians and pro-Israelis. I mean, I don't see why you can't be pro both. That's just me. But you know, it's brought up something this week. I know that there's a brand new, they're touting themselves as the anti-woke news channel in Britain at the moment. It's called GB News. I've been watching. I'm very impressed by their content. And their whole thing is, you know, we're here to have the conversations that seem to be missing from other news channels. Now, you would think in democracies that this would be welcome. But there's a massive drive by companies like IKEA and Grolsch Beer and Nivea to boycott them. They're seen as being right-wing. And, you know, it begs the question, do we need our ice cream providers, our furniture providers or whatever, being involved in our personal politics?
And the other interesting question is if it is a marketing strategy, if it's ever a successful one. Because my theory on this, on woke culture, is that it is impossible to win. Ultimately, you will lose the game. Somebody will, from within the group, will turn on you because you will offend somebody. Somebody will decide something along the way that you have done or do or will do that doesn't meet their standard. And there's nothing objective. It's all completely subjective. So at some point, woke culture, and Ben and Jerry's is the perfect analogy for it, eats itself. So I'm not surprised that it has gone this way. Look, we've had that discussion before, certainly on this show, around Nike and their policies around this. Initially, it did badly for them, then it did well for them. But why should it do anything for them, I guess, is the question. And does it seem that Ben and Jerry's have learned that lesson, or are they just keeping out of it for now, but we'll be back with something, along the lines that they've always adhered to?
Well, as the saying goes, go woke and go broke. And we're seeing that the woke culture is starting to eat itself. But at least this time, Howard, it comes with a generous dollop of ice cream.